thank you, Lord, for Jacob and Tyler and Kaylee for their safe journey. Lord, continuing to protect them there in Peru and bringing them home safely at the end of this month. And Lord, we also pray for Steve and Carol, Carol with the loss of her dad. Lord, just be with them as they travel all the way back to New Mexico, Lord. Be with them and comfort the entire family. But Lord, heavy on my heart are all the police officers all across our nation, but especially those, Lord, that are here in our fellowship. And Father, I pray that this church is faithful for lifting up each and every morning, Lord. And we present unto you, Father, tonight as we come to the throne of grace, we give you Mark and JT and Josh and Leonard. And Lord God, we ask you to give them divine discernment in all that they do, that they know when to turn to the left, when to turn to the right. And we thank that the angels of God are encamped around them. We thank you that no weapon formed against them will prosper. And Lord God, we thank you the blood of Jesus is covering them and their wives as well, Lord. So bless Chelsea and Danielle and Heather and Giovanna. Just, Lord, bless them. And Lord, let there be a supernatural peace upon them. And keep them, O Lord, and protect them now. And Father, for your word tonight, we ask you to bless it in our hearing, O Lord, and in our hearts. We love you. We give you praise and honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say, amen. We're doing a series, a summer series on the great prayers of the Bible. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 9 tonight. Daniel chapter 9. It's right after Ezekiel, I believe. And there in the Old Testament. And, you know, Daniel's prayer, if you ever wanted to pray a prayer, let's say for America, for the people that are in government and all of the people, boy, Daniel is the, if we look at it tonight, it's just magnificent. Remember that Daniel, there, 16 years of age, he's taken into Babylon. And God, of course, is blessing him and with him, but he literally sees four rulers in his lifetime. From the time he was 16, he was under Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and Darius, and then finally under Cyrus the Great. And he also witnessed during those 70 years of captivity that he was there in that wicked kingdom, he witnessed the Babylonian Empire come, and then it passed to the Medes, and then from the Medes it went to the Persians. So he was involved in all of that, and he was God's faithful witness in this area, you know, for 66, maybe 70 years of his life. Right now in Daniel chapter 9, he's probably, 85, he might be even 90 years of age. And before us tonight, in this great prayer, probably the greatest intercessory prayer and private prayer found in the Word of God. Now, this is not a public prayer. Daniel has shut himself up, and we're entering into his own private prayer closet, if you will. You know, this prayer can actually be read in about 3 minutes, but I'm sorry to say my teaching will take a little bit longer than that. But let's begin tonight with this prayer of Daniel beginning in verse 1. It says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the lineage of the Medes, who was made king, I should say made king by Cyrus the Great, over the realm of the Chaldeans. Now remember, if we look back in our history, Babylon fell to the Medes and then the Medes to the Persians. And it says, in the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, look what he's doing now. I understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. The first thing we want to see tonight is that Daniel found the will of God, not by a vision, but by studying the Word of God. Amen? And not that there's anything wrong with having a vision, but he was studying the Word of God. And Daniel realized something. As he was reading the book of the prophet of Jeremiah, he realized that the time of the 70-year captivity of Jerusalem, remember, after the fall of Jerusalem there, Nebuchadnezzar came in and took the southern kingdom in the Babylonian captivity because God allowed it, because Israel or Judah would no longer obey the Lord. Now, so now it's nearly to its end. And let me tell you what Daniel read in Jeremiah. Let me just read it to you from Jeremiah 25:11. Daniel read these things. He said, and this whole land shall be desolation and astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And then it will come to pass when 70 years are completed that I will punish the king of Babylon and that the nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, saith the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. And boy, that is a true word because of what Babylon did to the Jews there in captivity. God certainly paid them back, and they were totally just disintegrated, if you will. They fell to the Medes and so forth. Let me read one more passage from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:10. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, God says, I will visit you. I will perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place, meaning Jerusalem. Remember that in 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, when they invaded Jerusalem, they leveled it. I mean, they totally destroyed everything, and then they led the southern kingdom into the Babylonian captivity, which God told them they were going to be there for 70 years. Now, very important, before we get into Daniel's prayer, Daniel took the prophecy of the book of Jeremiah literally. That's very important. Because, see, today people try to say, oh, that's they spiritualize it, or that's an allegory, or this is symbolism. Listen, the Word of God, when God says this is going to happen, it's going to happen. Amen? Nothing can ever stop God's hand. So here, I want you to look now. When he discovered that there was only a couple of years, and all of the Jews were going to be released to go home, going back to Jerusalem, look what Daniel did. It says in verse 3, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make my request, and look how he does so, by prayer, by supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. You know what? Daniel didn't go and tell anyone about what had happened. He didn't get on, a Christian TV, if I could use that as just a sense of humor tonight. Do you understand? He didn't go preach a sermon. The first thing he did immediately says, I have to get before the Lord. I have to pray. And here this aged prophet, look at him. Do you see him? The sackcloth, the ashes, a symbolic of mourning and fasting. Fasting meaning that he is starving for God. He's hungry for God. And he set his face, it says, toward the Lord God. He shut everything out. This is intense prayer. He says to himself, man, change is coming. We're going home. Although Daniel never did go home, but the Jews did. He says to set your face. That means that when you're setting your face toward the Lord in prayer, that means you're seeking the Lord. Remember what Jesus told us in Matthew 6:33? He says, seek ye first. That's a matter of priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things, meaning all the things that we need in life, shall be added unto you, not subtracted from you, but God's going to take care of us. Jesus told us in Matthew 7:7, he said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now listen carefully. Prayer, as you've heard me say all these years, is the work. I didn't coin that, but I feel like I should have coined it. I've said it so much. But prayer is the work. Now listen, when Jesus tells us to seek him, to keep knocking, to keep seeking, you know, that's something that, in other words, we're not to stop. You see, pray until the answer comes. And I'm guilty of sometimes stopping, just like all of us are. Amen? But God says, listen to me. Jesus said, you keep praying, you keep knocking, you keep seeking, you keep asking. In the Greek, it's an imperative. Keep on. Don't stop. That persistent prayer. And that's exactly what Daniel was doing. Listen, don't give up in prayer. There's a things that I'm praying for, and I sometimes have to force myself to say, no, don't give up, Bill. You be persistent in your prayer time. Continue, like it says in Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, diligently in prayer. That's what we have to do. When we have that persistent, passionate prayer in our life, I'm telling you that it changes things. You see, prayer keeps us connected. It keeps us connected to the throne room. It keeps us connected to the place where that's where our provision is. Before it's manifested in the natural, it comes from the supernatural. Amen? It keeps us connected to the Lord. It keeps us connected to his power. It keeps us connected to his wisdom. So Daniel is praying, this passionate praying 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us for us to pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1, what did Jesus tell us? He said that men ought always to pray and not faint. I mean, don't be discouraged. Don't ever give up. Listen, when it says to pray without ceasing, it doesn't mean that we're to be on our knees 24/7, but it means that we have a daily walk praying one for another, praying for this nation, praying for this horrible racial divide that's occurring in our nation today. Man, listen, we need to link our hands together and be one, amen? Who are we fighting against? We're not fighting against each other. The Bible tells us who we're fighting against. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness, the wicked demons of this world. Boy, Satan wants to come in and divide us all. Oh, no, Jesus unites us. So listen, we need to be people of prayer. That's what Daniel was doing. He says, I am going to seek the Lord. I've got to find out what's going on. You know, the Bible says in James 5:16, it says the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth what? Much. That where we keep on praying. Listen, praying is not to change the will of God. Did you know that? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Does everyone in heaven obey God? Absolutely. Well, that's what God wants here. For God, think about it. The church in heaven in agreement. What a powerful thing that would be. No, he wasn't trying to change God's will. He knew the will of the Lord. He found God's will right there in the book of Jeremiah. And you know what he started to do? He's going to pray now God's will because he knows the will of the Lord. You know, one of my favorite scriptures that I go to often is 1 John 5:14 and 15, where it says this, and this is the confidence or the fearless courage or the confidence, the certainty, rather, that we can have in him, that if we ask anything, say that with me, anything. Boy, that's a great big word, isn't it? If we ask anything according to my will, if we ask anything according to his will, you want to know what God's will is? It's right here. Amen? It's right there. It says, if we ask anything according to his will, listen down, he hears us. And we know, if we know that he hears us, listen carefully, whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained or received the petitions or the request that we have asked of him. Praying the will of God. Oh, Lord, I want to get married. Oh, there she is. There she comes. I don't know where this is going, but. Oh, but Lord, is this the one? I mean, I know she doesn't believe in you. I know she's not a believer. Lord, are you praying the will of God? No, you're not praying the will of God. God says, I don't hear you. He says, you're in trouble. You're praying against my word. You're praying against my will. We're not to yoke up with unbelievers if we're believers. Amen? No. So that's what I mean. You have to, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And so look what Daniel did in verse 4. Daniel said, I prayed to the Lord. And look how personal he is. I prayed to the Lord, my God. And I made confession. And I said, oh, Lord, great and awesome God. Now watch this. God who keeps. God is so faithful, isn't he? God who has never been unfaithful. He says, God who keeps his covenant. And look how he does so. And mercy with those, number one, who love him. And number two, with those who keep his commandments. Listen, Daniel is praying in confident assurance. He says, I know who you are. Number one, you're my God. And number two, you're the God who made this covenant. You'll never break this covenant. And you know what? God will never break the everlasting covenant he has with the nation of Israel. Never. And that means even into the future. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, that's how you pray in confident faith. Question. Daniel had confident faith in the old covenant. Do you have confident faith in the new covenant, which is guaranteed by the precious blood of the Lamb, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Amen. We have a better mediator. We have a better covenant. Man, we go to the Lord. We can go right to the throne of grace. We don't have to go slaughter a sheep and take it to a priest. We are priest unto God. Amen. We can walk right into the throne room 24/7 anytime because we are the sons and daughters of God. And here he comes and he says, oh God, I know you're faithful. And he says, and look what he says. Now he's going to get very specific. He says, we have sinned. Now he's in Babylonian captivity with all the rest of the Jews. He says, we've sinned. We've committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. We've rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Now he's saying we've been disobedient. What did Jesus say in John 14, 15? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In Luke 6, 46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, if you don't do the things I ask you to do? You see, we need to be obedient as well. And here he says, oh gosh, we've sinned, we've committed iniquity, we were wicked, we were a bunch of rebels. I tell you, maybe we ought to pray like that sometimes, eh? You know, we've sinned. I give you a Bible study. You go find me anywhere in the Bible, or just the book of Daniel, where you find that Daniel sinned. Anywhere. And you know what you're going to find? If you go to chapter 6, beginning in verse 1 and following, you'll find out that they could find absolutely no fault with Daniel. None at all. Now, that doesn't mean that he was not a sinner, because he said, my sin as well. Amen? But there's nothing recorded if you study it out. So Daniel, here he is, he says, listen, we, includes himself, Lord, we've blown it. I've sinned. So Daniel, he's identifying himself with the people, his own people. And you know what? Are we one people? We're one body, aren't we? We're all connected. When God sees you, he sees us all. We're the body of Christ and so forth. You know, if one suffers, we all suffer with that one. Did you know that sin wounds the body of Christ? What if I opened up tonight and I said, Lord, we've all sinned. We're just all in trouble. We've all committed iniquity. We're wicked. We've rebelled. Somebody would stone me, man. I'm not praying that prayer, but I'm just letting you know. You know, but maybe the church today needs to pray like that. Say, oh, Lord, you know what? We have sinned. You remember Isaiah 1:18, God says, okay, if you've sinned, come now, let us. God says, I want to talk with you. I want to reason with you. I've given you an invitation. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Is that a powerful word? God says, come right unto me right now. If you've blown it, you're in trouble. He said, you come to me. He says, though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they will be as white as wool. You say, what if we've committed iniquity? What does the Bible tell us? Psalms 130, verse 3. Oh, Lord, if you should mark iniquity, if you should keep records, if you should keep score of our sins, or keep count of, Lord, of our iniquities, Lord, who could stand? Well, the answer, you know what it is. No one could stand. He says, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. We serve a great God. Amen. You know, if we've done wickedly, if we've rebelled, the Bible tells us in Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgression from us. And as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. Now look at verse 6. Daniel goes on, he's continuing the prayer, and he says, and neither have we heeded, or we didn't listen to your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, and all the people of the land. You know what? Over and over, God in his grace sent prophets to the nation of Israel. Jeremiah cried out over and over. Jeremiah never married, never won one soul to the Lord. You know, they hated him. He was hated by everyone, but he prophesied over, said, oh, listen, return to the Lord. God wants to heal your backslidings. And Judah, the southern kingdom, would never, ever repent, would never turn to the Lord. But God in his grace, listen, before God brings judgment, he always sends a warning. Did you know that? He warns, especially his people. He says, listen, this is what's going to happen to you. You got to stop this, and so forth. And so here it says, oh Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us, watch this now, shame of face. Boy, I'll tell you, Daniel, he didn't blame anybody. He says, Lord, we're guilty. Shame of face as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all of Israel, those who are near, those who are far off, and all the countries to which you've driven or scattered them, because of the unfaithfulness. That's why they were scattered, by the way. Unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. Now watch this. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face. Shame of face to our kings. Shame of face to our princes. Shame of face to our fathers. And here's the reason. It says, because we have sinned against you. You know, Daniel, one of the greatest prophets there in the Bible. You know, he's saying, listen, we've sinned so much, Lord. He said, we've sinned so much. We're so familiar. It says it doesn't even bring conviction any longer in our hearts. He says, listen, we've lost the power to blush over sin. You know, I remember as a young Christian, when the first time I had, and I've been in many parts of the world before I entered this one city, but I have never, when I remember the very day that I drove into Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, if you're from Las Vegas, don't be mad at me, okay? I lived there and went to Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas, and so forth, but I had never seen anything like that. And I mean, here I'd already been in the military and I was overseas, but I had never seen anything like that. And I remember I pulled over in Boulder City and looked down in the valley there at Las Vegas, and I said, welcome to hell. It's exactly what I did. And I was there with a radio equipment for a Christian radio station. And to make a long story short, I wanted to leave that night. I didn't, but that's another story. But, you know, I look at this, they said, we don't even blush anymore. You know what Daniel was saying? Daniel says, God, listen, I'm embarrassed. We're embarrassed. What would happen if the Senate would stand up and say, and the House would stand up and say, and the White House would stand up and say, you know what? We've shamed things. We've done shameful things. Oh God, we don't blush anymore at conniving and cheating and all the rest of it. What if our country would stand up and say, Lord, we want to be healed. We want healing to come. Boy, I'll tell you that this is what's needed tonight. This is what's needed now. Amen. You know, verses 6-8, did you know that is a national confession of shame? That's what he's doing. He's praying for everybody. He says, we're all, you know, Lord, we're all shameful people. You know, the Bible says about Israel, but it works for us too. It says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people, meeting the old covenant people, the new covenant people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, if they will pray, if they'll seek my face, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, in other words, if they will come face themselves with their own self-righteousness and all the things that we're doing, self-centeredness, God says, here's what I'll do. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And here's what's needed in America. I will heal their land. Heal their land, meaning the people. Our nation needs healing, amen? Oh, what if we, the church, if we would be honest, all of us, the corporate church, maybe right now, even us as well, Lord, I wonder if we would say, Lord, we confess as a body. We confess right now as a body that we honor you with our lips, but our heart is so far from you. Oh, Bill, well, that's not true. Maybe not for all of us. Our heart is so far from the Lord. He said, wonder if we would pray and say, Lord, you know, the old body of Christ would confess, Lord, we serve you, but maybe we serve you grudgingly. That doesn't hit home, does it? Lord, what if we prayed, Lord, we confess as a church body that we place a higher value on our programs than we do on prayer. wonder if the church would confess and just say, Lord, we pretend to give to your kingdom, but the truth is we're selfish. Or we pretend to believe your promises, but we don't. Now, Bill, you're so negative. No, I'm not negative. But you know exactly what I'm saying. Where we don't pretend anymore. Where we walk out and say, listen, I know God's going to help us. God's going to protect us. God's going to give us provision. God will never, ever fail us. Never. He's never failed me 1 second in my life. And he will never fail you 1 second in your life. Amen? And you know, that's we have to build our faith up. Remember praying in our most holy faith, in the Holy Spirit, building up our faith in the Lord, going into the promises of God, meditating upon the promises of God, and then believing the promises of God. Daniel did. He says there, oh, to the Lord God belong mercy, forgiveness. And praise God, he is merciful, isn't he? He says, though we've even rebelled against him, he says, we've not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws. And when he set before us by his servants the prophets, yes, all Israel has transgressed your law, departed as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us. Why? Because we've sinned against you. And he's confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against the judges who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster from under the whole heaven, such as has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that he might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. What is God saying? I'll tell you what he's saying. God's saying, you remember the covenant that I made back with you, back over in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 14 and following? He says, you remember the law of the blessings and the cursings that I made with you in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and so forth? He says, well, that's why those things have happened to you. You weren't obedient and so forth. And you know, if you read the curses and so forth and the blessings, the curses are horrible. But one of the worst curses in there was they would be deported from their land that they love. They would be deported from Israel. And that's exactly what happened when they went into Babylonian captivity. Now look at verse 14. And therefore the Lord has kept this disaster in his mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all of his works, which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. Listen, he's talking about the fall of Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar invaded it, destroyed it, led all the people there into captivity into the 70 years. But listen, Daniel just said, Lord, everything you do is right. You know, everything God does is perfect. Amen? He doesn't make any mistakes. It says in Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. Now, let me ask you a question. In this prayer that he's still praying, was God against or was he for Israel? He was for Israel, wasn't he? You know, if God wasn't for Israel, he would have left them alone. He would have never sent them the prophets. He would have never had, Daniel would have never been reading the book of Jeremiah, would he? No, listen, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing when God corrects you. It says also, just as the Father, the Son in whom he delights. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he disciplines, he trains, and he scourges every son.
God, when he chastens us, when he disciplines us, he does it because he loves us. Amen? Listen, God doesn't discipline children of darkness. Do you understand me? He only disciplines his sons, his daughters. And I don't know about you, but that gives me great assurance when he disciplines me, when he corrects me. Number one, it tells me that he does it in his love, and it means that I belong to him. So we can have that great, great assurance. It means he's involved in our life. It means that he cares. And it also means something else. It means that he who began a good work in you is going to complete it to the very day of Christ. Amen? That's so comforting to me. It's to know that he's never going to leave me, that he's never going to forsake me, that he's going to get me through the good times, the bad times, the valleys, the hills, the low times, whatever. that we can trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not onto our own understanding and acknowledge him in all of our ways, his ways. And what will happen? He will direct. That word in Hebrew means he will make smooth, make prosperous our paths. God loves us. And he says, and Daniel is saying, Lord, listen, everything you did was right. We deserve to go into Babylonian captivity. We know, Lord, because we didn't. You warned us over and over. And Daniel keeps praying. And look at verse 15. He says, and now, Lord, he says, and now, O Lord, our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt. Now, he's going all the way back to Moses now. He said, the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day. Look what he says now. We've sinned. And we've done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray let your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem. In other words, bring back your city, O God. He says, your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our father, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all of those around us. You know what Daniel's saying? Lord, listen. You know what you did when we were in bondage, when we were in slavery, all the way back there in Egypt, and how you brought them out with a mighty hand? Would you do a repeat performance? We want to go home. We know, Lord, that you love us, and we know that we've been a reproach, and we no longer want to be a reproach. He said, you saved us once. Now save us again. And now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant, his supplications. He's still praying now. He says, for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is what? Desolate. It has now been in ruins for nearly 70 years. He says, we want back Jerusalem. We want back our temple. He says, oh, my God, incline your ear, hear. Open your eyes, see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, no, but because of your great mercies. So Daniel is ending his prayer here, okay? And as he does, he's resting his case entirely on the great mercy of God. Listen, we need to pray for mercy, never judgment, amen? You know, mercy is what we need. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord's mercies were not consumed because his compassions fail not. Now, look what he says here in this prayer in verse 19. Incredible. He says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen. O Lord, act. In other words, do what you have promised in your word. What if we prayed like that for our nation, for America? Lord, hear us. Lord, forgive us. Lord, listen. He says, do not delay. Come on, Lord, act as fast as you can for your own sake, my God, for your city, for your people who are called by your name. In other words, bring us home. You know, he says, oh, Lord, forgive. You know, Psalm 130 verse 4 says, there is forgiveness with you. I pray that this prayer of Daniel does something. I pray that it reminds you that no matter how great your sin or anyone's sin might be, God is greater than sin. Amen. He's greater than all of our sins. And God's grace, his forgiveness is greater than anything we could ever imagine. The Bible says in Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound or overflowed, or literally where sin reigned as king, grace abounded much more. In other words, overflowed with a divine super measure. The grace of God is unbelievably wonderful. God is so good. You know, let's keep going just for a couple more. Look when his prayer was heard. It says, and now while I was speaking and while I was praying and confessing my sin and the sin of the people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, meaning there, Jerusalem, is what he's talking about. Yes, and while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, meaning the angel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. You know what's amazing? The evening offering was it began at 3, and it hadn't been celebrated in 66 years, okay? And here he is remembering that, and he said, the angel says, inform me, and he talked with me and said, what did he say there? Call it out. He said, oh, what? Oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand at the beginning of your supplications, the very time you started to pray, the very moment you opened your mouth, the very moment you cried out to God. He says, look at it now. He says, the command went out. In other words, the command from the throne room of God to the angel Gabriel, you get down to this man right now. And he says, I've come to tell you, watch this. You are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. Now listen, did you see the angel that came from the throne room of God? And he said, oh, Daniel, did you know that God knows your name? That God knows your name. He knows your middle name. He knows your last name. He knows your address. He knows everything about you because he is in love with you. Heaven, listen, what would you do if an angel showed up to your house tonight while you were praying? You think it would, you'd really become a prayer warrior then, wouldn't you? Huh? Well, there's angels all around you. There's angels here tonight in all the empty seats. They're the biggest givers here. No, listen. Daniel, and look at that now. What did he say? You are not just loved. You're greatly beloved. Did you know that if you study the Word of God, I personally have not found but only one other person this has been said of, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ at his baptism. Did you know, though, that you are greatly beloved tonight? Think about how much God loves us. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:6, it says this, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted, or literally freely bestowed upon us, in the beloved, meaning in Christ. That means that God, as you've heard me say so often, that God has accepted you. If you are a born-again believer, God has accepted you just the same as he accepted his own son who died for our sins. In other words, God loves you. God the Father loves you just as much as God the Father loves his son, Jesus Christ. You are accepted in Christ. I'll tell you, there's not a greater scripture, amen, if you're lonely, if you're burdened, if you don't know which direction to go, and you say, God, you're not going to answer my prayer. Maybe I'm all messed up. No, God says, listen, you're in my son, and I love you just as much as I love him. Christian, listen, this is our eternal position in Christ. God loves you. God loves me. And you know what? Your name is known by God. Remember what Jesus said in John 10:3? He says this, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Hey, Bill, come on. Hey, George, come on. Hey, Susie, come on. Hey, Fred, no, you're not my sheep. Joking. God knows our name. Pray for America. Pray for this nation to be healed. Amen. You know, I tell you what, we're strong. Don't blame anything on the White House. Blame it on God's house. Amen. We need to be people of prayer. You know, and where we go to the Lord every day. And let's just go to the Lord now. Father, we thank you for this short word tonight. We thank you, Father, that about all the great prayers of the Bible. Oh, God, we do pray for our nation tonight to be healed. We pray for the attack that has come against the police officers nationwide. Oh, God, we pray over this nation. We pray that this senseless act of violence would stop. And I thank you again, Lord, that our firefighters too, our police officers, all, Lord, that they walk in your divine discernment. They just know. They know, Lord, that you're speaking to them, telling them even what's going to happen in advance. That they just know in their heart Give them that sense of assurance and protection. And Lord, give their wives peace. Bless their children and bless their homes. Bless our nation. Oh God, we want righteousness to reign in the White House. We want your wisdom back in the White House. God, we need you to reign and rule again in our nation. We cannot be a nation of many gods. We have to be a nation of only one God. And that's you, Lord. Help us. Bring revival to this land one more time before the rapture, Lord. One more time. And let it start right here at this place. I pray you bless everyone here tonight, Lord. Just touch them. Whatever area, Lord, that the need they may have. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that Jesus is not their Lord, I pray that they would come down here to the altar, oh God, when the song is over tonight, and let us pray with them and introduce them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We love you tonight. We just bless your holy name. And we do confess the sins of our nation. Oh God, America no longer blushes. America is too familiar with sin. Lord, help us. In the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Let's